Blog Talk Radio.
Word today, we're going to be coming out of the book of Mark. We're going to be hearing Mark's version of the woman with the issue of blood and Mark's version of the synagogue chief whose daughter has died. So this is an awesome word of God this morning. We're going to stay in the New Testament today. We may, if time permits, have a psalm word, and then on Sunday, we will be in Leviticus, strictly in Leviticus. For those that are just joining us in this moving forward experience, because there is no blog or show on Saturdays, we do the Friday word, Saturday word, and Sunday word. So we will do either a New Testament or Old Testament word that covers Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or we will do the New Testament word that will cover Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we'll do a New Testament word today that will cover Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then on Sunday, we will do the Old Testament word that will cover Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So that's kind of how we work all of the word in for the whole entire week. And then on Monday, we start over again with whatever is the first day of the week. And we know that Monday will be March 1st. So we will start in Leviticus 26 on March 1st and then start back over with Leviticus and whatever our New Testament word will be, which I believe we will be going into still in Mark on Monday, all the way for a while will be in Mark, I believe most of next week. So that's just how we roll on this show. So we try to get all word in and not miss anything because it's so important. And I just want to thank you all again for joining us this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. Oh my goodness. I didn't realize how much I've learned until we do at our church every Thursday night Bible trivia. And so we have questions. Last night there was about 50 questions. And I realized I knew most of them. Not all, but most. Because it started coming back to remembrance, the things that I read in the Word of God. You know, it was like minor things that you might miss that I obviously did, but I was grateful that I knew the majority of those 50 questions. And not only did I know the majority of those 50 questions, but most of us that were in Bible study knew the majority of those 50 questions. Why? Because we are a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And when I tell you that it is so important to go to a church that teaches the actual Word of God, to know the Word of God. Because when you know the Word of God, everything else falls into place. And all those scales that are holding you back and you can't see past the surface, God will give you, He will just drop them off. All of a sudden, you'll start being able to see, to understand, and say, that is not correct. That is not in the Word. That is a distortion. That is not of God. You start to see it, know it, and feel it. And you know when you are being lied to, because a lie is a lie is a lie. And you cannot doll it up, clean it up, make it right. And we're going to keep moving forward. We're going to not talk about folks. We're going to just pray for them. That's what I'm saying. Pray for your brothers and sisters. You know, this morning as I was thinking and studying this word, and, you know, I had a Facebook post for this lesson this morning. And I just want to read it to you. Some of you who are listening in on Facebook have seen it. But those that have not may be listening in on a different word. But I just have to go with this word today. And it's so important that we understand how God's word is and how important his word is to each and every one of us. Because God loves us. He loves us. He loves us more than you can ever imagine. He loves you like that. You know, when you say he loves me, he does. He loves you. And this is what God put in my heart this morning. It says, the word of God commands us in Joshua 1:9, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In our word today, Jesus comforts what appears to be a bereaved father being told his daughter has died. Jesus tells the father, do not be afraid, only believe. We have lived in a season of fear, fear of COVID-19, job loss, shelter, our children, going to school, going to church, and nowadays insurrectionists. The Lord our God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That Timothy word. Only believe, family. We believe, and that's the title of our lesson this morning. Do not be afraid. Only believe. Do not be afraid. Only believe, family. Don't let anybody have you all bound up in fear. Fear of everything. We walk in faith. We believe. We don't fear. Do not be afraid. God said, I will not leave you or forsake you. We got to stand on his word. Stand on the word of God. Only believe. Hallelujah. So let's get started. And we know that in our word this morning, the woman who had the issue of blood 12 years did not walk in fear. She knew that she could be killed for being out and about, unclean. We just read it in the Leviticus word that a woman with an issue of flow must be kept separate until it's over. But it's not over. 12 years of it not being over. You know she was weak and anemic. And tired, and probably almost broke, going from doctor to doctor to doctor, trying to get healed. But she knew, if I can just get them to this man called Jesus, if I can just get there and touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. She said, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to believe. And that's what we must do. Don't walk in fear. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning. Your word, Lord God, asking you to bless it. Bless this word. Let it permeate our hearts. Let it permeate our minds. Let it permeate our spirits. Lord God, let this word lift us up this morning to not walk in fear, but to walk in faith. To know that we are covered by the blood of Jesus and that we must not walk in fear, not be afraid, but believe that your word is true. That when you said to be strong and courageous, we must be strong and courageous. We must not walk in fear, but walk in faith. We must not be afraid of the terrors by night, but know that you, Lord God, through your son, Jesus Christ, is our light. That we must have faith And we must trust in you, that you will guide our path, that you will make the crooked path straight. Lord, we know that all things are working for our good because we trust and believe in you. Lord God, we thank you this morning for this magnificent word. We thank you this morning for your awesome and mighty Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord God, I pray this day for the bereaved families that I know. One is this morning, one is tomorrow. Lord, I ask you to watch over them and bless those families, Lord God. Give them strength and courage in this time. Lord, I pray that they will not walk in fear, but believe that their loved ones are safe and secure in your loving arms, because your word tells us that absent from this earthly body is in the presence of you, Father God. So I pray today that you will watch over your children, that you will give us strength, that you will give us a courageous spirit, that we will not be afraid. We will just believe that all things are working for our good. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, asking you to increase as I decrease, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. But Lord, as my pastor said last night, and as I say this morning, you are my strength. I say it five times. You are my strength, Lord. You are my strength. You are my strength. You are my strength and my redeemer. And I know, Lord God, that all things are working for my good, because I will not walk in fear. I will just believe. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I am thankful. I am grateful. And I am blessed to be your daughter. And I, again, in the name of the Savior, my friend, the one who loves me, Christ Jesus, I pray that this word will permeate a heart, a mind, and a spirit. Amen. Giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength. I cannot do this without him. Because I'll tell you right now, this particular morning, I was sleeping good, real good. And the Lord woke me up. It's time to get up. I'm like, yes, Lord. I had to stop and think where I was, because I was sleeping real good. But God, hallelujah. Thanking God this morning for his grace and his mercy and his goodness and his kindness. You know, every morning I tell God I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed. Thankful to be in this morning. Grateful to have a do-over, and blessed to be a child of God. So let's get in our word this morning. Please join me in Mark chapter 5 as we move forward through the word. Hallelujah. And the word of God says this morning, in Mark chapter 5, verse 21, now when Jesus has crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. In other words, he could barely move because they were all around. You know, in this day and age, it's the rock stars and the actors and actresses and big-time names that get this treatment, political figures. They get this treatment where they can barely move because people are so all around them. And that's what Jesus had. But in this throng, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And I know the women that are listening to this message this morning understand what we're talking about. A flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. But you got to remember, when you have an issue of blood, you are anemic. And being anemic is no joke. I have suffered from it most of my life. They don't know why. They can't find the reason why I'm anemic. But I know without any doubt that God is in charge and that I'm still here and all is well because I believe my whole heart that I am healed. Because if God can heal this woman with the issue of blood, God can heal me with anemia. Hallelujah. And as we continue, and it says this in the word of God. Whew, hallelujah. And she has spent all that she had and was no better. You think that through. But rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched. Did she touch his arm? Did she touch his head? Did she touch his hand? Uh-uh. She touched the hem of his garment. She touched his garment. And I don't know if it was the hem because it doesn't say the hem. It says she touched his garment. She might have just been pushed into him and touched his garment. She might have been knocked down and touched his garment. But she touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Hallelujah, I feel healed of my afflictions. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Wow. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? You know, and there are folks that get pleasure out of giving what they feel is bad news. But you know what? We shaking that mess off because this is what Jesus said. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And I say to you this morning, family, do not be afraid, only believe. For we know that our Father God is with us. He has told us so in his word. We know that he will not forsake us. He has told us so in his word. Jesus had just healed this woman with an issue of blood, and she didn't do anything. He didn't say, woman, you are well, before she touched him. She just touched him, touched his clothes. Come on now. Touched his clothes, made well. We know what our Father God can do. We know what our Savior can do. We know what he did. As we are in this Lenten season, we know that this is not about us, but about Jesus. And it goes on to tell us, as soon as Jesus heard the word was spoken, I tell you, what did he tell him? He said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. We know how folks can be. We know how we can be. Been there, done that. Like I said, lived across the street from the funeral home and would go out on funeral days on my front porch. Who was going to fall out and have to be brought outside? I'm sorry. I was something else as a little girl. But, you know, it was something to watch. Who would be the ones crying and wailing and falling out? Because understand, small town knew normally who was being buried over there. And knew sometimes because I was a nosy little girl. I would listen to grown folk conversation because I was that child that was being seen but not heard. Because I wasn't being heard because I was listening. And you got to listen. There are some children that just blend in the background and hear everything. I have an older son who was that child. He was so nosy, but he would hear all kinds of stuff because what he would do, he would just kind of blend into the background of the room, quiet, listening. And that's what I would do, blend in, quiet, and listen. I do it now, blend in, quiet, and listen. Sometimes you just need to be quiet, keep your tongue behind your teeth, and you learn all kind of stuff. But anyway, to see the folks falling out, wailing, wailing, screaming, hollering, but that's what was going on in this man's house, weeping and wailing loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "What make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." Like, y'all getting on my nerves. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said, "Talitha kuma," which is translated, "little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, but she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it and said that something should be given her to eat. Whoops, bam, you're wheeling and you're wailing outside. Jesus did not play. He didn't play. Gone outside. Y'all ain't got your, nope. The child is not dead, but sleeping. And then they're going to ridicule Jesus. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother and his aces, Peter, James, and John, and went in and did what he had to do. Because the father did not walk in fear, but believed. Hallelujah. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. And again, for those that are just joining us, we are coming out of the Charles Stanley Study Bible, which is the Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year, which is why we divide the lesson up between Old and New Testament on the days that we are not here, which is only on Saturday. This is my assignment, and I'm going to do it. And I thank God for the voice to do it. Hallelujah. God is good, and I believe. Hallelujah. Mark 5:36, do not be afraid, only believe, y'all. Jesus did not comfort the man upon hearing the news of his daughter's death. He challenged him to faith instead. Regardless of our circumstances, God always urges us on to faith and all away from fear. And he knows what I'm thanking him for. Hallelujah. Faith, not fear. Faith, not fear. Every time, faith, not fear. Mark 5:43, he said that something should be given her to eat. If Jesus brought the little girl back to life, why didn't he also put something in her empty stomach? God does what only he can do. He instructs us to do what he equips us to do. Come on now. Yeah, Jesus could have bought her back, filled up, but he wanted the parents to do that part. Feed your child. She's been laying here asleep. She's ready to get up. Your baby's hungry. Go get her some food. Believe. We will not walk in fear. Believe. Mark chapter 6. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands?" Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James? Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Wait a minute now. He says, not the carpenter. Like, who is that? Who is he? Wait a minute. How did he get all that knowledge? You know, isn't that Mary and Joseph's kid? You know, wait a minute. We know his brothers and his sisters. Come on now. Who is he? And then, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Come on now. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. You know, couldn't even get some love in his own town. Couldn't get some love in his own family. Folks go talk about him. Hey, wait a minute. That's James. That's Joseph. That's Judas's. That's Simon's brother. Wait a minute. Wait. Girl, look over there. There's this little prophet. He had this. He had that. We know. You can live 50 zillion miles away, and folks will talk about you and your family. Girl, yeah, she's calling herself some kind of preacher. I don't know. That's that little girl that was down the street that got hit by a car. I don't know why she's trying to act all like she saw all that now. You know, disobedient little girl. You know, I'll tell the truth. I was a disobedient little girl, but God has blessed me, and he has raised me, and he has healed me, and he has kept me from death because I should have died that day. Being a disobedient little girl, but I didn't, because God had a plan for my life. Do what I do, my assignment. Hallelujah. And the word of God says, and he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except the staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. Also, he said to them, in wherever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Now King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore those powers are at work in him. Others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is the prophet, or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, I beheaded, he has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself has sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. We just finished Leviticus talking about this, didn't it? Say you're not supposed to do this, y'all. Because John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore, Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was just and holy. He was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased him, and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you. He also swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to have my kingdom. So she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Immediately she came in with eyes to the king and asking, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, yet because of the oath, because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in the tomb. That is some low-down dirty stuff. I'm just calling it like it is. That's some low-down dirty stuff. And our life lessons for this word is this. Mark 6:6. He marveled because of their unbelief. Unbelief always causes Jesus to marvel because he knows that the God who asks us to trust him is almighty, all-wise, all-present, all-loving. Why would someone not trust? The very idea is beyond understanding. That is so true. What the Bible says about John the Baptist, a man of discernment. It says, what would you think of a man who lived alone in the desert, wore camel skin, and ate wild honey and locusts? And how would you feel if this man said you needed to let God change your life? You can see why many people who heard about John the Baptist went to see him out of sheer curiosity. But John was no lunatic, and neither was his message his own. For almost 30 years, God prepared John to announce the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. John was a man of great spiritual discernment who knew the difference between those who came with humble, repentant heart and those who came to mock or criticize. When you ask God for discernment, he gives it to you freely. For those who truly seek his face and his direction for their lives, the Lord brings a wisdom that can only come from him. Discernment. And I tell you this, you see things, so you're like, look, let me go this way. Because everybody that smiles and pats you on the back may not be for you. They may not be there for you when you need them either. Be careful of who you allow into your inner circle, into your friend group. You can have all kinds of acquaintances. But a friend is someone that all you have to do is pick up a phone and say, I need you. And they're there. That's a friend. That's all I can say. Because we know who we can depend on. And a friend is someone you can depend on even more than you can depend on family. And I'm talking blood relations. A friend is someone that God gives you because you need it. Hallelujah. I'm grateful that God has given me some great friends. And some of those friends I can count are my children. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. And I claim my blessing because I will not walk in fear. I believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe that all things are working for our good, family. Don't let anybody knock you off your square of faith. We have faith because we know that our Father God can do everything. You think it, he can do it. You believe. And have faith. It can happen. Hallelujah. The mess that you may have or be in can be cleaned up. And you can be made brand new. All you got to do is just do it and have faith. Hallelujah. I thank God for his grace. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And our last word for this morning, we may be able to get to one of our Psalms this morning and a proverb for today. But then we'll be in Old Testament on Sunday. And we are in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 56. And it says this, Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass, so that they sat down in ranks in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all, so that all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. I want y'all to hear that. 5,000 men. That was not including women and children. That was just the men, 5,000, which means those 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish fed over 5,000 people. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethesda, where he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them, walking the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. But they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. For they had not understood about the loaves, because their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick, to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch the hem of his garment. As many as touched him were made well. Wow. And we know that the woman with the issue of blood just touched his clothes. Come on now. She has touched him. She touched him because she said, I know. I'm not going to be afraid, because I know I have an issue of blood. I know I'm not supposed to be out here. I know I'm not supposed to leave my home. I know, but I'm going to get healed. I'm going to touch his garment. And she was healed, because she did walk in fear. The multitude hungry, but they
didn't want to leave because they knew that there was something for them there, and watched him feed 5,000 men 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish with leftovers. Come on now. Don't tell me what my God, my Savior Jesus Christ can't do. Hallelujah. And this is some life lessons from the lesson today. Is Mark 6:31. Come aside by yourselves to a desert place and rest a while. Because remember, he had sent them out to work. They had to go to work. They went out 2 by 2 without anything, not even clothes on the back except for what they had on. No extra clothes, no food, no money, nothing but a staff. And God made a way for them to find a place to stay. Didn't have hospitality in their heart. Shake off the dust from your feet and move forward. Don't even look back. They're going to wish that they had been more hospitable. Come on now, it's all about hospitality. You got to be nice to people. And it says this, come aside by yourself. And it says Jesus and his disciples worked hard, but they did not drive themselves to exhaustion. Jesus made sure that his men took care of themselves, not only spiritually, but physically as well. And we have to do the same thing. We have to take care of ourselves spiritually and physically. Mark 6:46. When he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Jesus prayed. If Jesus prayed, why do we think we don't need to pray? Except for when we need something. No, we pray daily. Just say, Lord, I just want to have some time with you. Just have a conversation with God. Talk to him like you talk to your friend. Take it to the throne and not the phone. When you got something to say it to God. You know, my pastor was talking about prayer closets last night. And I had to laugh because she mentioned the car. My prayer closet is my car. That's my spot. When I come home from work, I will sit in my car and just have conversations with God. When I need a quiet place set aside where nobody's there, where I don't have to deal with anything but just quiet, I go and get in my car and just sit there in my garage and talk to God. It's a quiet place without distraction. Because when you're in your house, you're looking at all the things you got to do. I need to put this up. I need to go clean that. I need to get this done. I need to get that done. And all your mind is going at 50 zillion miles. And then you got the TV on, and then you're watching television, and then you get to your mind, and you don't have the quiet time with God. And then in my closet, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I need to put these shoes away. I need to hang this top up. I need quiet. I don't have any distractions in my car. I don't turn it on. I don't turn on the radio. I don't do anything. Just sit in a empty garage in my car talking to God. My quiet place, my prayer closet, my war room. Hallelujah. When he had sent them away, he departed to the mountains to pray. Mark 6:46. Throughout the Gospels, we find Jesus alone with God to pray. During these times of intimate fellowship, he found renewed strength, direction, and a deep love for his Father. We got to spend time with our Father. Just spend time with him. And then it says Mark 6:52. They had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. And you're like, wait a minute, they're disciples. How can they have a hard heart? Because sometimes when we're the closest to a situation, we don't see the miraculous thing that God is doing because we don't want to see it, or we just have a hard heart and don't know what we're seeing. But God is awesome. He is so good, and he's miraculous. Wow. And it says this, had Jesus' disciples understood the meaning behind his first miracles that they revealed him, revealed him as the Messiah, the Son of God. His other miracles would not have surprised them. They saw, but they did not understand. And I'm going to read that one more time. Had Jesus' disciples understood the meaning behind his first miracles, that they revealed him as the Messiah, the Son of God, his other miracles would not have surprised them. They saw, but they did not understand. They saw, but they did not understand. And let's call it straight. It really wasn't meant for them to understand, because it was for a purpose and a reason that he was taking them where they needed to go. So God is always taking us where we need to go to do what we need to do. So I thank you all, because what I need to do is done. I have a word from, of course, our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And if there is anyone that would like to speak, if a miracle, if you touched the hem of his garment, if you had an issue that the Lord has healed or healing, don't be afraid to hit that button. Let's say we are not going to be afraid. We are what? Do not be afraid, only believe. Hallelujah. I believe that all things are good, that I'm healed of whatever affliction. I'm claiming healing. I'm claiming healing. I'm claiming healing over everything. Healing over my environment. Healing over this planet. Healing over my finances. Healing over my body. Healing over my mind. Healing over my spirit. Healing over my children. Healing over my extended family. Healing over everyone that walks through my church doors. Healing. We got to claim healing. Healing of anyone that hears the word of God. We got to start claiming and not walking in fear. Because so many times, folks walk in fear and not in faith. We get caught up in everything that it makes us nuts. We got to get out of being afraid. We got to tell that devil, get out of my face. I know who I belong to. I am a child of God, and you are not getting me distracted today. I got things to do. You know, we got to start speaking into existence what we know God is going to do in our life. Lord, you know what I need. I don't have to even tell you. But I just want to have a conversation with you just to say, Lord, I love you and I appreciate everything I have. I don't need, if, as the song says, if the Lord does nothing else, he's done enough. If I would have said the Lord does anything else, doesn't do anything else, he's done enough for me. The Lord God is there for us. All we got to do is believe. You know what? All I can do is give my sister a hug across the mouth. Faith is not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who holds your future. Have a faith-filled Friday, and that is right on point with our lesson today. Faith is not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who holds your future. That is the truth. Did the woman with the issue of blood, did she worry about what was going to happen? No. She had faith that if I touch his clothes, I'm healed. And what did Jesus tell her? Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Come on now. Did he tell Jairus, I'm sorry your daughter's died. I ain't going down to your house, man. I ain't got time for that. No, he said, do not be afraid, only believe. When the disciples came, 5 loaves, and 2 fish, then Jesus said, tell these folks go home. Tell these folks go home. We ain't got time to feed all these people. Nuh-uh. Instead, what did he do? He told them what to do. Told them to put them, to give, bring them to him. What did he do? Divided those people 700. Put them in hundreds. So that's a lot easier to count 5,000 when they in groups of 100. Just the men. 100 men each group, not including the women and the children. Come on now. John the Baptist. I think folks was running out. I was like, oh, I got to go see this man. You know, we get Girl, you heard about it. Heard about who? That man in them camel. The girl got on camel skin and he eating bugs and honey. Girl, I gotta go see that. But John had discernment to see past the surface. Are you coming to see what I got on? Are you coming to see what I'm eating? Are you coming to see my dreads, you know, my locks, my hair that I don't cut? What you coming to see? Come on now, because remember, he was a Nazarene. Didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't do anything but to handle his business. And the business was preparing the way for the Savior. You know, and it says, but John was no lunatic, and neither was his message his own. For almost 30 years, God prepared John to announce the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. John was a man of great spiritual discernment who knew the difference between those who came with humble, repentant hearts and those who came to mock or criticize. We got to know who people are. Your word is your bond to God. We got to speak the truth. And then, you know, as we continue, just this overview, Jesus' family, the folks in his own community, did not have faith in who he was. Wait a minute, and that's the carpenter? And Mary, his mama, you know, and then named off his brother. Wait a minute, and that his sister's over there. Who is he trying to talk about? What is he talking about? Girl, please, we know who he is. But we got to have that in our spirit to know who God is. Evangelist, your line is open.
Good morning, good morning. I just wanted to say that the faith is the substance of things unseen. In 2017, I started losing my physical and natural sight of my vision to see the creation of what God has made. I began to get fearful, but because God had placed many in my path, my faith began to grow more concerning my healing that I needed. I had more faith pertaining to others that God placed in my path to pray for, that God would heal them as they touched his garment. But then when I heard about the woman with the issue of blood that touched the garment, as I said, the hem, but we don't know if it was the hem, but that's what came from my mind and my voice and my belief that if I touched the hem of Jesus' garment, I would be made whole. And we came together, my sister in Christ, Minister Bridget, and we believed that by faith I would see again. Because by 2019, I had a challenge of vision, unable to see the creation, but God, on today, in 2021, I have 2040 vision to see the creation of God. And I'm grateful and thankful for those that stood by my side in faith, building up my faith that I was able to overcome fear. Because God didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. So have faith and trust in the Lord. No matter what the situation may seem like, no matter what the delusion may look like, no matter what the doctor's diagnosis may be, because Jesus is Dr. Jesus, and he can do all things, because all things are possible with God. God bless y'all.
Amen. I just got filled up, y'all. But that's the truth. I was there. I
Hallelujah.
Know my sister could not see.
Hallelujah.
But we prayed and we believed and we touched in agreement that God would heal and we knew that he would. Well, we say 2020 by 2020. And she got 2020 vision in one eye and 2040 in the other. But God, we know what God can do. We know that God has got it covered. But understand, let me give you something, family. See, I'm going to say it. She got 2020 vision because God has given her an eye to see the sermon of John the Baptist, to see past the surface. She sees past the surface, so don't come at her with some fake smiles and all that, because she sees past the surface, because God has given her spiritual discernment. So 2020 vision she has in 2020. God gave it to her.
Yes.
We believe that trust in our Father, and that's
Hallelujah.
What we must do. You can't get delusional. You know, we can't think, oh, well, this is not normal. It is normal if you believe, if you have faith.
Yes.
God
yes.
will make a way out of no way.
Amen.
I know I've seen him work. Hallelujah. As the song
says,
I've seen him work. You know, I believe it's Anita Wilson that sings that song. And I'm going to tell you, I know a brother, and I've seen God work in all of our lives that were a part of his ministry, Morning Glory. God is working. I've watched him work. I've seen him work. And I thank God for Morning Glory, and I thank God for Pastor Fred opening doors for me so that I'm here because of the doors he opened. I thank my pastor for the doors that she's opened for me. I'm here because of those doors. And I thank God for the door that we are opening for our sister in Christ, Evangelist Center, because I'm going to tell you, when her testimony is going to go, and it's going to be worldwide, it is now. You've just heard it. Hallelujah. I once was blind, but now I see. A testimony
Amen.
Of faith in what our Father God can do through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. All we have to do is touch his garment. And we will be made whole. We will be healed. We cannot
Amen.
Walk in fear. As our word
Amen.
This morning says, just like he said to Jairus, he says it to us every day, what we must do. And that is, don't be afraid. Just
Amen.
Believe. Thank you so much, sister, for answering the call and speaking
Amen.
To our audience this morning. I thank you all for listening. Do not be afraid, only believe, family. And as we say every day together, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of our Savior Jesus Christ. My sister and I tell you together, a wrap. It's a wrap, my sister. Because what
Amen.
Are we doing? We're always willing, ready, available, and presently praying. But each and every one of you, thank you so much for joining this Moving Forward experience as we move through the Word of God. Please join me on Sunday as we move forward through the Old Testament, our Old Testament Word. And as always, what do we say, sis? God willing, we'll be together
again. God willing.
Tomorrow is Sabbath. For those that do Sabbath on Saturday, it is my rest day. So I am resting tomorrow, and I'll be back with you on Sunday. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.
It's
time
a wrap.
To go to work.
Yeah. Amen. One
day.
More thing. Lord will, tomorrow I'll be 61 years young. Hallelujah.
Woo. Oh, I'm so sorry, Minister Shannon, Sister Shannon, prophetess, evangelist, you name it, she got it. And we just go quickly sing happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, my sister. Happy birthday to you. Happy
Amen.
Birthday to you. Happy Hallelujah. Birthday. As Stevie Wonder said for Dr.
God.
King,
Amen.
We say to you, my sister,
Amen.
Happy birthday. Free birthday. And we'll come back
Amen.
On Sunday. And we'll sing it again. Have a blessed
Amen.
Day. And have a happy
Amen.
And wonderful birthday, my sister.
Amen.
It's a wrap,
Thank
family.
You.
God
it's
bless you.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
God bless you all. Amen.
Amen.